Hey, Dylan Kelly here, host of the Wave Break podcast. Excited to get into this episode, but first, here's a quick word from our sponsor. This episode of the Wave Break podcast is brought to you by Klaviyo, the growth marketing platform most recommended by other business leaders. Listen, in uncertain times, you need to be supporting your community and growing relationships with your customers. It's going to be appreciated. It's going to be remembered. It's going to be shared. And in good times and bad, this type of communication that's open and empathetic with your customers is key. This is a key theme that we've been talking about at Wavebreak. I've been preaching this on the podcast. And when you're communicating with your customers in this way, the best way to do this is with email. It is and always will be one of the best channels for delivering communication like this. And what I love about Klaviyo is that email is one of its core offerings. And their personalization that you can do inside Klaviyo is just, it can't be beat. And when you leverage that personalization driven by a 360 degree view of the customer, these emails are going to feel more relevant and they're going to drive even stronger relationships. And Klaviyo gets it. They're not just, you know, some company. They understand how challenging it is right now for every entrepreneur. You know, it was hard to get your business off the ground, and navigating these times is even harder. And if you're feeling overwhelmed with growing your business, know that you're not alone. Klaviyo is here to help you build relationships across any distance for your brand and create memorable and meaningful email marketing moments that last a lifetime. And that's how you build a successful e-commerce brand. And this is why I love Klaviyo so much, because they're on the same page with me and Wavebreak. Is like, we're not just about making more revenue. That's great. But what this is really about is an opportunity to create an amazing community with your customers. And the best way to do it is with email. And if you're not on Klaviyo, you gotta get on Klaviyo. Visit klaviyo.com to schedule a free trial. That's Klaviyo.com. You're listening to the Wavebreak podcast, the show where I interview the people behind the fastest growing e-commerce and direct-to-consumer brands. I'm your host, Dylan Kelly, founder and CEO at Wavebreak. Wavebreak is the email and CRM agency for high-growth D2C brands. With ad costs rising, we help brands maximize lifetime value by building and optimizing world-class email and SMS marketing programs. You can learn more about partnering with us at wavebreak.com. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Wavebreak podcast, the marketing podcast for high-growth, direct-to-consumer, and e-commerce brands, where you learn what's working in e-commerce marketing with interviews from the fastest growing direct consumer and e-commerce brands. My name is Dylan Kelly. I'm the founder and CEO of Wavebreak. We are a boutique email and SMS marketing agency specializing in doing exactly that, helping brands diversify their marketing mix through best-in-class email and SMS marketing. And we'll get talking more about email and SMS into this episode. So today on the show, I'm joined by Terry Levy, head of e-commerce and digital marketing over at Prima. Prima is a really awesome company in the CBD space. You can learn more at prima.co, but prior to that, she ran marketing and e-commerce over at Lather, and this was a really fun talk. So we're chatting about everything from, you know, first-party data to what it's like being a CBD company with advertising restrictions to, you know, even more restrictions rolled out in 2021 with all the changes in marketing. So we talk about which channels they're diversifying into, what new channels they're testing and exploring. We chat a lot about email and SMS and what we're seeing with iOS 15 and how we're both continuing to optimize marketing as we go. So it's a really fun talk, and I think you'll get a lot out of it. So without further ado, let's jump right into this one. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Terry.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to chat with you.
Yeah, same here. So I guess first things first, let's talk about So what's interesting about Prima is you're in CBD, so you have a lot of restrictions in terms of what you can and can't do in terms of marketing. We've already covered those on the podcast before, so we don't have to get into the details of that. But I guess, like, just in general, this has been a really interesting year as just like this concept, this conversation around like data, third-party data, first-party data, zero-party data. I mean, there's pretty much every type of data you can talk about nowadays with all the different privacy updates happening. So I guess, like, first things first, like, as a somebody, you know, who runs digital marketing and e-commerce for brand, like, what have you been seeing just like on the data side of marketing as a CBD brand with all those restrictions over the last, you know, year or so? Get us up to speed on that, and then we can dive into more specifics. I think that'll be a good place to start.
Yeah, totally. Well, as you mentioned, CBD has a lot of challenges marketing digitally. So when I started with Prima, it was I had to learn really quickly on how to augment our marketing strategy to actually own our own marketing and rely on first-party data. So any traffic that we were driving to the site, we had to capture either an email address or a phone number or something and not rely on a pixel. And obviously, there have been some major changes in the depreciation of pixels in 2021 with all the iOS updates. And so we tried to prepare as best we could, but because of our broken funnel, meaning that we have to drive traffic to subdomains before they get to the main domain, it's been super challenging to kind of wrap our head around that data. And so we've been leaning really heavily into email acquisition.
Got it. So when you say own your data, previously, before you guys got kicked off of SMS, and like context for people who don't know, in May of 2021, like basically SHAFT regulation came into effect for SMS, and brands and CBD or like anything SHAFT related got kicked off SMS platforms because, like, you know, obviously government liability, lawsuits, everything you don't want to happen is kind of the risk then for everybody. So then SaaS companies are like, you know, SMS people are like, get off our platform kind of thing. So like when you say own your data, initially you're collecting email and SMS and like that's kind of your number one goal. Is that what you mean there?
Yeah, that's our number one goal, so that we have a way of communicating with our consumers one-to-one. And we leverage email and SMS differently. So when we were on SMS, and I think it's really important for your audience to understand that CBD was lumped in with SHAFT, which means sex, hate, alcohol, firearms, tobacco, and CBD. And when we got kicked off of that, we couldn't speak to our customers in the way that we wanted to, being a CBD brand. Our email channel was more of a education, and then our SMS was more of a support. So it was as if you were getting a text from a friend, and we had an amazing interaction between our consumers and our CX team who managed SMS, where they actually thought that they were speaking to someone. And so that was a big shift in our strategy when we got kicked off of SMS. And so now we're really heavily focused on how do we acquire more email addresses, because that channel is basically our bread and butter with all the limitations that we have on marketing on Google, Facebook, other digital platforms.
So what does that look like? Because I think right now, you know, especially with every iOS, like for people who aren't even in CBD, like for every iOS update that rolls out, like, you know, Facebook ads aren't performing as well as they used to be, et cetera, et cetera. Like, so everybody's kind of in this mindset of like, hey, let's build our lists that we actually own. Like what does that look like in practice? Like actually growing the list, like what strategies are you deploying there?
We're relying very heavily on brand partnerships. So we're working with other brands, like-minded brands, different verticals that we can cross-pollinate lists. And whether it's a shared, like dedicated email that we'll send on behalf of the other brand to our list or vice versa. Obviously, we've done giveaways, but the retention and the conversion on a giveaway email is not that great. So
yeah. Would you do more of those? Like, do you plan to do more of those? Or because I think that always gets tossed around. It's like, oh, besides pop-ups, it's like, oh, do giveaways. But that what we've seen is that always ends up with pretty low quality, like you said, like low intent, kind of bottom of the barrel leads.
Yeah, we will continue with that because of the limitations that we have, but they're strategic. So we will work with other brands and build brand partnerships where we feel like audiences are similar, their purchase intent is similar. So it's not just like a random giveaway. It's definitely a very strategic, well thought out strategy that we implore in deciding who we're going to do a giveaway with.
Got it. And then are these brands in just CBD or like generic brands too, like who are in other spaces as well, but similar customer?
Yeah. Other spaces, similar customer. We have done with other CBD brands when there wasn't a competitiveness with the format. So, you know, whether it's a sexual wellness CBD brand or us. So it's all strategic, but acquiring email addresses is going to be our number one strategy, but quality email addresses. And then obviously, you know, with the iOS 15 update that just recently happened, we don't know how that's going to impact this strategy. So it's kind of a little bit like wait and see, test, kind of see how this is going to all fall out, because we don't know.
Yeah. And it's tough to see because, like we were talking earlier, like nobody really knows what's going on. Like even ESPs, they're not really sure. They're kind of just like, let's just wait and see. And that's like exactly what we've done. Well, that's not the opposite of what we've done. We're not like, hey, let's wait and see. Like we've been ahead of this, testing new segmentation strategies based on like, hey, if we lose access to XYZ data and we only have to rely on, you know, the data that we own and that we have, what can we do there? Same with like testing impact to open rates. I can tell you too, like we're seeing it really varies just because also the reporting is like so out of whack now, you know, granted this podcast is probably going to air in a few weeks, but we're kind of like a week or two out. I think this is week two of iOS 15 being rolled out. But what's funny is like, we even saw with some clients, like when we're looking at iOS 15 users, open rates were like down compared instead of up. Cause like really what Apple's doing is opening every email. So you expect it to be inflated, but like behind the scenes, these ESPs are changing their tracking, but they didn't communicate that to anybody. So even the data we're looking at, where we're seeing anywhere from like 40 to 120% increase in open rates from iOS 15, I don't, at this point, we don't even know if that data is super accurate as of recording this on the 7th of October. But it is, we are seeing inflated open rates from that segment of anywhere from 40 to 120%. But like you said, like we still don't know what's going to happen 3 months from now. Cause yeah, it's just, it's tough to know.
Yeah. And obviously, yes, the open rates are inflated, but what we've done is we've adjusted our strategy for optimized for click-through rates so that we can kind of gauge how people are interacting with our content. And then back in August, we did a ton of A/B testing on content for email. Previous to that, we were very focused on A/B testing subject lines, so that we can get a gauge on open rates. But then when I started researching how this iOS 15 was going to impact our email strategy, I started A/B testing content very heavily and CTAs specifically. So being very prescriptive on, instead of like shop now, click here to shop, like, which is not really on brand, but I felt like we needed to be more direct with the action that we wanted people to take. And it can't be as unsaid, you know, it has to be very specific.
Less cool, but more effective. Kind of when you start to like optimize for conversion on your website, it's so funny. Like some of our clients, it's like they start as this beautiful D2C brand. And then like fast forward a year after a bunch of optimization, their website's like cluttered with copy and like these random press logos and like all these things. You're like, oh my goodness, this does not look as good as it used to. But then you find out the conversion rate like doubled because it's functional, not necessarily the prettiest to look at, which is kind of what you're saying on email. I'm curious, like, what were some of the findings testing those call to actions? Like we've been testing similar things. I'm curious, like what patterns you've seen?
I think definitely the more direct CTAs are driving an open rate instead of the like sublime CTA. So really being prescriptive on
like the click to shop instead of just shop now.
Shop now. Yeah. Like click to shop or what have we done? Click to learn more, or also being a little cheeky and saying, you know, you want to learn more, click here. Like just really being a little more direct and playful with encouraging people to take an action. And then the other issue that we're seeing on with the iOS impact is obviously attribution. Revenue right. Attribution is conversion attribution is inflated. So yes, we knew we had a robust email strategy that was driving between 25% to 30% of revenue. But now in the past 2 weeks, that iOS has happened, we're seeing like 38 to 40% of revenue, which, you know, is not realistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shout out to your email team for almost doubling email revenue overnight. No, I'm just kidding. That's what we joked around with our team too. We're like, yeah, you know, if we don't fix our attribution, like we rolled out a whole new reporting system that we're using with our clients. But like, that was the kind of joke. It's like, wow, we're really going to like double the ROI for this in the next few days, just for the sake of attribution, right? Nothing else really changed. It's getting harder. And like, that just goes back to kind of what you were saying. It's like, we're kind of back in 2009, I think is kind of what you're telling people. It's like, we're back to this data place where we had access to all these true and real numbers. I'm using air quotes for people listening, but all these numbers that we came to rely on. Let's talk about that too. Like, tell me about why are we in 2009 all of a sudden in 2021?
Well, 2009, we weren't that reliant on Facebook, Instagram, right? So mm-hmm. I think marketers have become lazy because they've been relying on those third parties for their data and trusting that data. And that's why I feel like people are like, oh, it's so easy to scale, but it's not like that anymore. You know, obviously Facebook, Instagram is going through their own issues with iOS updates, and their reporting, their dashboard is like invalid pretty much. Like any of the data in there, you have to kind of slice it and dice it and figure out what's true and what's not. But I've always said, like, the elephant in the room is Facebook. Like, they're feeding their investors and they're driving revenue because of the ad dollars, but they haven't made the investment in the back end infrastructure. So anyone that runs any ad buying for any brands, they know that the dashboard of Business Manager is the clunkiest thing ever. And Facebook hasn't invested in, you know, upgrading that, upgrading attribution, upgrading their reporting. And so I feel like we're flying blind. Nothing's changed since 2009.
Yeah.
We just got lazy. That's all.
No, for sure. I mean, not just lazy with analysis, but also with like marketing budgets in general. I think, like, you know, the D2C growth playbook was like, you know, you put pretty much 100% of your marketing budget into Facebook, cross your fingers. Actually, you didn't even have to cross your fingers back then because it was just like so effective, you know, like 2016. I just had this founder CEO of Vegamore on the show. And he was like, man, if I knew what was going on in 2017, like how good our ROAS was, he was like, I mean, I would have double mortgaged the house, like done whatever it took to keep putting money in there. But yeah, it's getting way harder nowadays. So like, what are you doing in terms of like, now, how are you measuring marketing? How are you measuring success? It's kind of double-edged sword for you too, because you're also a CBD brand. So there's only so much you can do anyway, but yeah. Or maybe too, we should add one more comment here. You previously ran e-commerce marketing at Lather too. So you also have experience not in CBD. So you're also drawing from that too. I think that's important context. Also, you didn't have these limitations before too. Just want to put that out there. Anyway, yeah.
The limitations with CBD were a quick study. I had to learn very quickly on how to navigate. And it actually goes back to 2009 because of the limitations with CBD. I had to think about creative ways of marketing, reporting. And so we really look at our budgets holistically and our reporting holistically and focus on a blended ROAS and blended CAC as opposed to a specific channel. Obviously, we have CPA goals that we're trying to meet on a channel, but it's more of a holistic approach because we're CBD and we rely very heavily on our SEO strategy. We have like a kind of wonky Google strategy that we don't really know how that's working. And because of the limitations that you have of advertising or doing anything on Google. So I rely on UTM parameters. So there's a going back to leveraging UTM parameters and doing a lot of slicing and dicing of the data there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, that's the next question I was going to ask is like, what are the channels that you're using as a CBD brand? So you mentioned email is obviously a huge one. SEO you touched on, a little bit of Google Ads through a workaround there. But yeah, what does your marketing mix look like?
Programmatic. So we've gone back into programmatic. We did a big push beginning of 2020 on that, and then pulled back because we didn't see the ROAS on that. And so we've kind of shifted back in testing pre-iOS 14 because I was like, I didn't know how it was going to impact us. And as much prep as we did on Facebook to navigate and mitigate the outfall of the iOS 14, we started programmatic again. And specifically on one product so that we're able to understand the lift on that. And we're seeing success there. But obviously, as all these things have happened with the iOS updates, lots of brands are jumping into programmatic and display again and driving up costs. So
it's really funny that.
And now a quick break for a quick word from our sponsor, Okendo. Okendo is the new standard in customer reviews for high growth Shopify brands. We use them with our clients, and they work with over 4,000 of the fastest growing Shopify retailers like Skims, Nomad, and Buck Mason to help them leverage their most powerful asset, their customers. Okendo gives brands all the tools they need to capture and showcase customer-generated content like product reviews and ratings, photos and videos, and Q&A. Plus, they have an awesome integration with Klaviyo that makes it easy to do cool stuff like send review request emails and target shoppers based on review content. And now that it's that time of year again, when Black Friday and Cyber Monday are top of mind, Okendo is offering a 90-day free trial to help e-commerce brands ramp holiday conversion without having to worry about increased subscription costs. If you sign up before October 31st, you pay nothing until 2022. It's really a no-brainer to me, and don't worry, you won't be forced into any expensive annual contracts after your trial is up. They offer super affordable monthly subscriptions starting at $29. So you can make the most out of this holiday season with a little help from Okendo. Visit okendo.io and start your free trial today. That's okendo.io. Thanks, Okendo, for sponsoring the show.
Yeah, no, it's really funny you say that because I feel like even some people listening to this podcast probably don't even know what programmatic is. Because I think it used to be like an advanced strategy for brands. Once you start to hit scale and you kind of run out of channels, it's like you start to go into, I don't want to say traditional because it's still like, you know, I guess a quote, it's not like a billboard, but like for people who don't know what programmatic is, like what, or also just for people who do know what it is, what is the state, like what is it and what's the current state of it in 2021?
I mean, it's basically display ads, right? That appear on a website like CNN or I don't know, like the big players, MSN, right, things like that. And it's based on inventory. So, you know, you bid. Whatever inventory is available, you kind of get placed there. So it's those ads that you see on other sites. You can get into it on YouTube too. There is definitely a strategy there for YouTube, but being CBD, we can't do that. And, it is totally old school, but it's more for a retargeting strategy as opposed to prospecting. So while we need to acquire new customers, Facebook and Instagram have been the biggest place for acquisition. We are diverting a little bit of our budget to test acquisition on programmatic, but you need a full funnel approach for that because obviously somebody's seeing it for the first time on a site. You know, you need probably 5 or 6 touches before they convert when they see it that way.
Mm-hmm. It's such a throwback too. Like it's crazy how everything is coming full circle. Like it happens in fashion and it's like happening in marketing now. It's like we're going back. Same with data. Like you're like, we're back in 2009 and we're running programmatic advertising again. And I mean, even direct mail now is having this like resurgence and built like brands are like, you know what? Screw it. Like I'm spending so much on Facebook. Like I might as well buy a billboard and see what happens. Are you guys doing any kidding. Like old school channel, I guess old school, new school channels, like in direct mail or like billboards or like anything like that?
Well, we also do affiliate. So, you know, building out a robust affiliate, mostly the affiliate is tied to SEO optimized content.
That's working really well. Like for our clients, like not everybody's growing year over year from 2020's like growth. But the ones who are the ones who are less reliant on Facebook and Instagram and like have another strategy specifically around affiliate. But it's not like it's like an overnight thing you can start. Like these are people who have been in it for a long time.
Affiliate, it's hard. It's a lot of relationship building. It's a lot of hard work to optimize that channel. It is the most efficient channel. And it's definitely an interesting space to play in. But then again, we're CBD. So there are challenges because some affiliates won't process CBD, things like that. So we definitely are constantly navigating that CBD vertical and the challenges that come with it, but have diversified our marketing spend across different channels so that we're not reliant heavily on, let's say, a Facebook and Instagram. We've also tested direct mail and, funny enough, I feel like direct mail has been successful with that for us for winbacks. So people that have not purchased, that has been a success. But from an acquisition standpoint, it has not worked.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's like, and even like we're talking earlier about TikTok. I forget if that was on the record or off the record. I think it was off the record. But it's like, yeah, and that's kind of the challenge of like launching any new channels. You got to figure out a way to, like, it's not just like you launch it and it works. Like even like when brands first launched on Facebook and Instagram, it really wasn't like that. You kind of had to find your footing, figure out what works, what doesn't. And like, but like launching any new channel is not easy. Especially for acquisition. Like, how do you think about that? Like where are you thinking about for, you know, obviously we're heading into holiday season now, we've got 2022. It's kind of like this really hard pinch that we feel in e-commerce because we have this big quarter and then we also have to think about the new year. Cause otherwise you get to January and you're like, oh no, what do I do now? But like, what are you thinking about as we like finish out the year and head into next year?
It's so funny. I joke with my team. I'm like, wait, I'm already finished with Q1. Like, wait, and we haven't even done Q4. You know, Q4 is crunch time for most, D2C brands. Well, actually for anyone who's direct to consumer in any way, but, you know, we've had a very challenging 18 months, 2 years. There's been a lot of uncertainty. So I keep telling my team, we're going to do the best, prepare the best, do the best we can, put everything we know and into achieving our goals. But there was always like factors that we have no control over. And as we've learned, you know, in the past 18 months, it's like there are definitely things we have to navigate and mitigate as best as possible, but we don't know what the outcome is going to be. Q4 is crunch time. We've prepped. Definitely the cost of advertising has increased incredibly in the past 2 weeks. As people are kicking off their Q4 marketing. But, you know, we spent a lot of the year building up our audience, acquiring emails, but we didn't anticipate all the iOS changes. So this Q4 is going to be interesting to see how everything kind of plays out, because usually, you know, you spend Q2, Q3 growing your audience for the remarketing pool, because I don't necessarily focus heavily on Q4 and acquisition. And so it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out, because the pixel's depreciated, email, we don't know what's going to happen. So I'm just hoping for the best.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's tough, especially when you got like the leg taken out from under you with SMS earlier this year. That's really tough. But yeah, I mean, we'll see how it plays out. I'm excited for the technology to continue to catch up to like with all these changes. I think that's what's you know, kind of like the light at the end of the tunnel. The good news is like what we're seeing is like overall, like if you're able to evolve your segmentation strategy on email, like you can still drive the revenue you're used to, even though the numbers are showing up wrong. And then with that too, like if it's going to get harder, brands are going to leave the inbox or just do it poorly. And consumers are going to leave those brands in their inbox, right? They'll just unsubscribe. Yeah. So it's going to create I'm really bullish on email. I think there's going to be a huge opportunity there for the brands that continue to get it right. That's at least what we're seeing with our clients too. Even though the data is wonky right now, it's like still in Shopify, you can see the revenue, it's coming in.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that. I don't think email's dead. I definitely feel like it's a channel that if done effectively and properly, you can definitely drive that revenue. The challenging part is obviously, you know, if you're on Klaviyo, I'm sure you've leveraged, you know, connecting your first party data to Facebook, and that's also depreciated, how you leverage that first party data on Facebook. So we're segmenting our lists and doing smaller sends, and they're driving more revenue so that we can optimize for deliverability and click-through rate.
That's so smart.
Yeah. I mean, it's no longer this batch and blast kind of mentality. It's definitely smaller segments.
Yeah, no. And I'll say too, like on your point on segmentation, like this is something we've been testing all year, just out of curiosity. You know, we have access to a lot of brands, so we can run these tests. And like one thing we've seen, and it's really the number one differentiator for like brands that are driving more revenue from email versus brands that aren't, is it's actually focused not on quantity, like you're saying, like batch and blast, but really quality. And like by sending less volume, but sending better email over time, we've seen every metric increase. Engagement has gone up, revenue has gone up, conversion rate from email has gone up. The hard part is nobody wants to do this, but we're getting to the point where you have to do this. You have to be patient because it's not going to be an overnight change. But if you look 3 to 6 months down the road, it is going to drive more revenue. And on your point too, with segmentation and getting more granular, we looked at it starting even in like as soon as the news was announced, we're like, okay, well, let's actually understand what a more effective way of segmentation might be. Cause like, you know, most people are relying on different engagement metrics, even like an open rate, but it's like, who are the people actually buying? And that's where we went. And we call the strategy now, like following the money, like basically reverse engineering, who's actually buying and interacting with emails. You can actually create your segments based on a lot of that data, which has nothing to do with open rates and more on like buyer behavior, customer journey, customer lifecycle. And what's funny is like the revenue is still there because it's kind of like the 80-20 rule, right? Like those people who fall in those buckets are the people who are driving the revenue anyway. It's scary though, as a marketing leader, when you see those segments get smaller, you're like,
yeah,
you like the quantity. But yeah, it sounds like you're seeing the same thing with just like narrowing the focus, but still seeing the results.
Yeah. And also looking at different metrics, like not just open rate, we're looking at like active on site, we're looking at purchase behavior. That's how we are segmenting our lists, is not just on an open rate or a click-through rate. It's how are they interacting with the content? How many times have they visited the site? Things like that. How many times have they added to cart? Like just looking at and slicing and dicing the segments based on that so that we can understand consumer behavior and then also know who will drive the revenue and who to send the right message to at the right time.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then it's like, it's funny how the rest just falls into place when you just focus on it like that. It's really been like a wake up call, not just for like, you know, getting the overall marketing act together, but also delivering a better, more personalized experience to the people you do interact with. And we're starting to run out of time here, but like, when we think about heading into the new year, you say like, okay, I'm already at the end of Q1. Like what are you from the future, Terry? Like, what are you seeing in terms of like, how are you thinking about 2022? Which feels so weird to even say out loud, like the word 2022.
I am so excited for 2022. Like I feel like at Prima, we've been doing a lot of building and testing and learning. We're only been around 2 years, so we're toddlers, literally. We're so new that the past 2 years have been really setting the groundwork, and I feel really confident in 2022 that with the strategies that we've put in place and the the not we haven't fallen into that laziness because we're CBD. We've always had to think on our feet and kind of be creative and nimble with our marketing strategies. So I'm excited that in 2022, all those learnings are going to be put into motion. And I'm excited to constantly learn too, because, you know, as a marketer, if you kind of get lazy and just like set it and forget it, it's not going to work. So I'm open to, you know, exploring other channels. Hopefully we'll get back on SMS. There's like, fingers crossed,
and crossing
my fingers that we'll get back on SMS, because there's the opportunity for us. So 2022 is going to be an awesome year.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that's the only way to look at it if you want to be successful. I think it's a really exciting time. Like, sure, some people are going to fall by the wayside because of it, because they're not adapting, they're not exploring. But I think, you know, it's really exciting because it's always in these times that people really push the limits of what's possible and you really figure out like, yeah, just like a new, better way of doing things in general. And like, that's just always, I mean, that is really exciting. Like putting another dollar into Facebook, like how exciting really is that?
Yeah. I'm excited to shift budget away from Facebook, to be honest. I don't see, I mean, gosh, we just had an outage two days ago.
The writing's on the wall. Like every iOS update, I feel like it's like a warning sign. And then it's like, oh, a week after the latest iOS update, it literally goes down for 4 hours.
Yeah. So
at least,
and it was longer than that, I think. And you know, we still got billed. They still served impressions. I'm like, wait, how did you serve those impressions?
It was stuck on everyone's phone. It was just Prima ads everywhere. You got more exposure actually. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. So, so I'm excited to like shift budget away from that and, really explore other channels. We are going to implement, you know, a more robust direct mail campaign and test that a bit more. And then, you know, SMS is great, but I do feel like a lot of brands are leveraging SMS as their batch and blast strategy that they had for email. And I'm just a little weary that consumers will kind of get tired of that. So I want to be really strategic on how we approach SMS when we've always have been when we were on it, and even more strategic now. And then the other exciting thing is we launched an app. So we launched the Prima app. And
nice.
So in 2022, I'm going to focus on that app experience and differentiating the app from our site experience, so that we can even further own our own marketing.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, that's really exciting. I'm excited to, we'll have to catch up again and just like see, because who knows what's going to happen next year at this time. Like by the time we get to October 2022, like considering how much happens even in a week in e-commerce lately, it's crazy. And like to your point on SMS too, I mean, I think that's a really scary thing is like, yeah, like brands see the revenue in it because it is such a high engagement channel. Like you send something, it drives revenue because people see it. And then it's like, oh, let's scale that up. But actually, to just like add a quick story here to like stop people from doing that before it's too late. Like I've seen that happen before. So, you know, obviously we run an email and SMS agency. One of our earliest SMS clients, this is like years ago, they saw the potential with SMS and they really pushed us. They're like, hey, we need to scale the volume. And we're like, no. And so they basically were like, okay, well, we'll just do it then. So they took it away from us and they ramped it kind of how you said, like batch and blast approach, like scaled volume in a massive way, it wasn't like a mutual two-way relationship. It was just like send. Well, I got access to the data a few years later. And what happened was they never recovered from that. Like revenue spiked in the short term, but in the long term, like SMS, they went from getting thousands of dollars per send to a few hundred dollars per send, maybe $74 on a single send. And you got to start completely from scratch then and rebuild it, because you lose all that trust immediately. You can't, like, even like years later, it still hasn't recovered. And that's just, you can't, like, there's your kind of like warning story of proof for anyone listening who might be thinking of that. Like, don't do it. Less is more, quality over quantity. If you want to play, if you want to be around a year from now, you have to play the long game, and the short game is not going to get you there. So just wanted to add that, because that was a great point, Terry.
Yeah, definitely on the SMS, the batch and blah strategy is not. I mean, look, everyone has a phone in their hand. It is the most personal thing that you could possibly have. And text messaging is something that you do between friends, between family, people you really know. And so for somebody to give up their phone number to a brand needs to respect that and value that, because they're getting content delivered to probably one of their most private channels on their phone, which mm-hmm. is their text messages. And so abusing that, you will just get shut out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not the same game that it used to be, marketing in general. Like, you used to be able to get away with that. You used to be able to get away with having a bad product. Like, a lot of the TV info products were so bad because there was no accountability and reviews and no internet, but it doesn't work that way at all anymore. It's like such an outdated strategy. Quality is the way to go. Well, hey, thanks so much for coming on the show, Terry. I really appreciate it. Before we sign off, where can we go to learn more about you and PrettyMat or anything else you've got going on?
You can always find me on LinkedIn, Terry Levy. And then you can always visit our site, Prima.co. And you can shoot me an email at Terry@Prima.co. And I'll hook you up with a discount code.
Yeah, let's throw a quick plug in for a CBD company who doesn't have access to the same channel. So if you need CBD, go to Prima.co, join the email list, see how they do email great, and then buy something to really see their post-purchase funnel.
Yeah, right? That would be awesome. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, Terry, thanks so much for coming on the show. We'll link that up all down in the show notes below. Really appreciate you taking the time.
All right. Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If your email and SMS marketing is not dialed, you don't have an advanced segmentation strategy, you're not testing and optimizing your creative, you got to get this dialed. Every iOS update is a wake-up call. And the Facebook outage that happened is just another reminder of why it's so important to diversify. And one of the best and most effective ways to diversify to the quickest ROI without having to completely figure out a brand new channel is by evolving your email and SMS strategy to truly be best in class. And that's what we specialize in at WaveBreak. Our clients tell us we're an extension of their team. They rely on us for advanced strategy as well as the execution of their programs. And as a result, they see increases in revenue quarter over quarter from the work that we do. And if you want to learn more about that, you can learn more at wavebreak.co, and you can schedule a call with our team there. Look forward to speaking with you and working with you, and hope to talk to you soon. Hope you guys enjoy this episode and have a great rest of your day.